Welcome to the Levar. Welcome to the Titletown Times. I'm sorry about that. It's been a long day, but we bring you all the best news out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and I'm here with my buddy Bryant.
What up? What up?
All right. So we are done with the 2019 NFL Draft. It is concluded, and we all know who is dressing in green and gold as a draft pick. Coming season.
Yeah, I'm super pumped, honestly, well, with who we got.
Well, assuming they don't get cut, of course. Yeah. Right. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through these draft picks. We're going to go through our favorite draft picks. We're going to go through our least favorite pick. We're going to go with the most surprising pick. And we're going to discuss which Packer that was already on the roster has to fear for their place on the team because of these picks.
All right.
Without further ado, let's get started. Our first draft pick at number 12 was Rashawn Gary. He's listed at multiple positions right here on acmepackingcompany.com. They have him listed as an edge. I view him more as a defensive lineman. He comes from Michigan. He's 6'4" and 277 pounds. Bryant, what do you make of Gary?
You know, I was actually shocked that we drafted Rashawn Gary because I was hoping, you know, we'd go after, you know, TJ Hockenson or, someone with a big name. And Rashawn Gary, I thought he would go maybe a little bit earlier than us. But, you know, he's a very versatile player. As you said, you know, they have him listed as a defensive end, defensive lineman, outside linebacker. I like the fact he's very versatile. However, there was my main issue that really kind of just made me have a head scratch with this pick was his injury, the shoulder injury, and the fact that he had a lack of production in Michigan.
Yeah, the shoulder injury is a concern. However, during his post-draft phone conversation with the Packers, he was talking with the media via phone. And he was saying that the shoulder is not an issue and that he'll be playing this year.
Right. And he, in his exact words, he's 110% better. Yeah. So, and no surgery.
Yeah. I'm wondering how truthful that 110% quote is. But if he's willing to play through injury, then I already like his intangibles already.
Oh, yeah. Because most guys can't even play with an injury.
Yeah. He ran a 4.5840 for a guy his size. That is incredible. I witnessed his combine live, and he was outstanding. This guy is an athletic freak of nature. However, like Bryant said, production. That's an issue.
Yeah, because his stats were, when he was a Wolverine, it was 9.5 sacks, 23 tackles for loss. You know, within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those numbers are what a guy can single-handedly do in one season alone.
And a lot of people are quick to... a lot of people are saying that Michigan's scheme was not ideal for someone like Gary. His defensive line coach at Michigan was saying that Gary is one of the most talented people he's ever coached. And,
really?
Yeah. Which is a good thing. You're getting high praise from your coaching staff from college.
Right.
And he seems like a high character guy because as we were calling him to say that we were drafting him, you could see that guy was emotional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you know he's going to put in that work for sure.
And he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, really, because, you know, a lot of people are doubting him and stuff.
Yeah. And... however, like I was saying earlier, that I think we're going to play him at 5 technique, defensive line. However, one of our later draft picks, we'll get to that in a second, I think it tells us that he's actually going to play outside linebacker in our scheme.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to look out for. But I think that...
it's a lot of competition.
No kidding with the Smiths. But the thing is, I think that... with Pettine's scheme, he can succeed. Apparently, this was a guy that Pettine went wide-eyed for. Like, he wanted Gary. Mike Pettine wanted Gary.
Yeah. And that's another thing a lot of people fail to realize, because even myself, You know, I actually read an article that said Mike Patine was all for this guy. It was like, they actually had to ask Patine if they should go for this guy. And Patine was like, yeah, go for him. Like,
no, and I agree. And I saw some plays on film. And this might be why his production was so low. He was constantly double-teamed and even triple-teamed at times. So players mm-hmm. already knew about Gary.
Yeah.
So maybe that was what led to his low production. Yeah, it's like how,
exactly.
It's like how a corner doesn't get a lot of interceptions in college because they're actually doing their job and covering their man. So quarterbacks are like, I'm not going to throw there.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, in my opinion. So I think the jury is out on Gary. However, his athleticism, it's hard to ignore. However, at 12, I think it is kind of a reach. So I'm giving that pick a C myself.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. In my video that I made, I also gave it a C. I wanted to give it a C minus, but he's just very athletic, very versatile. Like you said earlier, for a guy his height, for his size, he runs pretty fast, so I give it a C.
Yeah. And next, with the 21st pick, which we traded both of our fourth round picks to get, we acquired Darnell Savage Jr., the safety out of Maryland. 5'10", 198 pounds. I love this kid.
So do I, honestly. This guy's a hitter. And it's a huge upgrade over Kentrell Bryce.
No kidding. Time. And also, I think he's going to play free safety for us. I think he's taking Haha's place.
Well, yeah, there's Amos at strong safety and Savage
at
free safety.
I like that combination. We went from Haha Clinton Dix and Kentrell Bryce, also Tremont Williams and Kentrell Bryce, to Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos at safety. That, to me, is an upgrade.
Yeah. Big time,
yeah.
Dude.
I love Darnell Savage. I thought he was my sleeper pick for the first round. I thought there was an outside chance that he could get picked in the first round.
Sure enough.
Apparently, Gutekunst, after drafting Savage, he said that he knew for a fact that he wasn't gonna be able to get him at 30. So Gutekunst did what he needed to do and traded up with Seattle and got his man Darnell.
Yeah, and plus there was rumors of the Colts and the Texans and Ravens wanting
to grab him. Yeah, exactly. So I know that we traded a couple of draft picks for him, draft picks that would have been probably useful. However, I'm giving this a B+ because we traded up, but if we didn't trade up to get him, this would be an A.
Yeah, I agree with you. I give it a B+ too.
Yeah, I love this pick, honestly, and I went to bed happy that night.
Hey, same here. And plus, it took, you know, the first two picks a need off our list. So
exactly. Next, on day two, at 44, we took Elgton Jenkins. The G is silent. He is a guard at a Mississippi State. 6'4", 310 pounds. What's your take on Elgton?
I think this was an amazing pick. You know, a lot of Packer fans were freaking out saying, oh my God, we're not drafting an offensive line. We need to protect Rodgers, this and that. The fact that he played how many positions on the O-line? Four out of five?
Four.
That's just athletic as hell. All right? We can literally play this guy anywhere we want him to. I think we're most likely going to play him as a guard.
Guard is where he's going to be playing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Packers decide to move him. But, as I said, guards most likely.
And this is what the Packers like in their offensive linemen. They like versatile offensive linemen that could play anywhere in a pinch.
Yep.
That's what I love about this pick. It fits what the Packers like doing, and it's succeeded before. Josh Sitton and Jay Lang were tackles coming out of college. They weren't guards.
Exactly.
So I think this is a great pick. Elgton Jenkins, fun fact, only surrendered 3 sacks his entire college career. So that's something.
Oh, That's really good.
Span of 3 or 4 years, and you only allow one, like, 3 sacks? Like, 1 sack a year in a 12-game season, at least. Wow. Yeah.
I'm going to give this one an A-, honestly. I really like this pick. I think he'll be a guy that really stayed with us for a cool minute.
Yeah, I'm giving it an A- as well. I'm giving it an A- because I think this is where he would be picked regularly. Like, if it's a steal, I give it an A+. But since this is filling a position of need and this is around his range, I give it an A- for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And then in the third round with the 75th pick, we took Jace Sternberger, the tight end out of Texas A&M. 6'4", 251 pounds. He ran a 4.66 40-yard dash. What is your take on Mr. Jace here?
Kind of heartbroken we didn't take T.J. Hockenson. Now we have to face him twice a year against Detroit. However, I do like Jace Sternberger a lot more. I think he's more productive than T.J. Hockenson. The only thing that really concerns me is his blocking. But I think that's coachable, and if he's willing to be coachable. So I like the pick. I think it's a new weapon for Rodgers, another need off our list. He's going to be a guy that gives guys like Robert Tonyan, Lance Kendricks competition, you know, in order to be
I don't think Kendricks is on the team anymore.
Really? It still shows that he's on the team. I'm surprised, too.
I know. And the thing with Jason is blocking, during his phone conversation after getting picked, Jace was, he acknowledged that he needed to work on his blocking. This is something that he knew that he had to work on before he could be considered a complete tight end. Mm-hmm. I think that this guy is a perfect match of best player available and need for the Packers. This guy can stretch the field. He was ultra productive at Texas A&M. He had 10 touchdowns last season. 10.
832.
No kidding. The 10 touchdowns is what I like the most, though, because that means he's a red zone threat. And our red zone offense last year was not good at all.
It wasn't. And we thought Jimmy Graham would be, you know, the red zone threat that we need, but...
Yeah, Jimmy Graham was hurt, though, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm giving this one an A- because, again, I thought Jace would be here in the third round, and it's a position of need. So I'm giving it an A-.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I also have an A- here on my list.
And fun fact, there's a picture of him going around on Twitter, posted by Jace himself, of him wearing a Brett Favre jersey saying he was destined to be a Packer.
Oh, yeah. I actually seen it on Facebook.
So we got a cheesehead fulfilling his dream here. Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay. So we didn't have any of our fourth round picks because we traded up to get Darnell. So in the fifth round at 150, we got Kingsley Kiki. Do you love me? Are you riding? And he is a defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Two Texas A&M players in a row. 6 foot.
Right, I was
6 foot two, 293 pounds, 4.95 40-yard dash. What's your take on Kingsley?
I love this pick. All right, the moment you showed me his highlights, I instantly fell in love with his highlights, dude. One of the things that I really liked, though, was the tape that's going around where he's going one-on-one against the Vikings' new offensive line.
What's his name?
Sumia. Yeah, and he just literally just killed this guy, dude. I was like, man, I love
that. Yeah, he killed him at Senior Bowl practice for sure. And I think this closes the door on Muhammad Wilkerson coming back because Kingsley can play his position.
And he's another guy that's versatile. That's one of the things that most of our picks are. Versatile.
Yeah, I love this pick. he didn't bench at the combine, so I don't know how strong he is. One knock on him was that he needed to get stronger, and I kind of agree with that. But the thing is, he's a high character guy, and he's going to do what it takes to succeed, in my opinion. So I give this a B plus.
I give it a B plus. Yeah, as well.
I would give it an A minus, but again, his strength is a concern for me.
I agree with you on that.
Okay, so we had 2 sixth-round picks. Our first sixth-round pick, Kadar Holman, cornerback from Toledo. 5'11", 196 pounds, 4.36 40-yard dash.
Damn.
This guy was an athletic freak at his pro day. He tested really well at the combine as well. He had 12 defended passes this past season. I think he had two interceptions in his career at Toledo, either two interceptions in his career or two interceptions this year. Kind of a big difference if you think about it, but still. I like Kadar Holman's, I like his athleticism for sure. He came from a weaker conference. He came from the MAC, which is not typically known to be let's just say it's considerably not as good as the SEC or the Big Ten.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But I still think he could be a promising prospect. He, again, had a great combine. 12 defended passes is nothing to pass on, really. And I think that he provides depth at corner. Depth that we haven't had in a long time.
Right. No, definitely.
So what are your thoughts on Kadar?
You know, I didn't really get to see too much of his highlights or, you know, do my research about him. But from what I've heard and read, I think he does have promise. I think he'll be a guy that has potential to eventually be a starter. You know, right now I'm comfortable with our trio in Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, Kevin King. And then, you know, after that, you got Tremont Williams. But Kevin King can't stay healthy. That's one of the things I know a lot of us can agree on. Tremont Williams, he gets burned constantly with these young receivers. So the fact that he ran a 4.36, I believe it was, really just goes to show that he can be up with these receivers, especially the young, fast ones.
I don't want million-year-old Tremont Williams on Stephon Diggs ever again.
Jesus, or Julio Jones.
Oh, yeah. That was awful.
Yeah. No, thank you. Nothing. But yeah, I think he has promise. I like the pick. I'm gonna give it a B minus. He gives us depth. He's a potential starter eventually if the time is right.
Okay. So next we have Dexter Williams, the running back out of Notre Dame. That's your team right there.
That's right.
5'11", 212 pounds, 4.57 40. I mean, you're the Notre Dame fan. Tell me about Dexter.
Man, Dexter is a freaking monster. Let's just go to say this. And I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but I really like Dexter. I like his production in Notre Dame. Me personally, I think even though his time... Okay, 4.57 is kind of slow. But then again, I mean, he looks pretty fast on tape.
It's so faster than Elijah Holyfield, the running back from Georgia, who's still running his 40 as we speak.
I think he's going to be the guy that eventually does get snaps on the field. And when he does get on the field, he's gonna make noise. He's going to let his presence be known. I don't think he'll be a starter unless one of our guys go down, and I'm knocking on wood. But he's good. He's a good piece for depth, definitely. He'll learn a lot from Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and Aaron Rodgers will definitely like this guy.
I think so, too. He's solid in every area. However, I don't think he's the best at receiving. But, I mean, he's a running back. You don't expect him to be the best receiver ever. So, but this guy, I think he's very smart. I like his vision. I like his ability. Like, when he has blocking, he will find the hole.
Yeah.
Unlike Trent Richardson, who will go the exact opposite way. We've all seen that picture.
He'll run like right into
it. Yeah, I know, right? So I'm going to give the Dexter Williams pick a B+. I like his story. There was a shot of him as he was getting picked. His mom, who was battling a terminal illness, was next to him crying tears of joy. So I like this story for Dexter. One knock on Dexter, I will say, though, is he has had some legal troubles. He was caught with marijuana. And I get it. Weed's weed, whatever. But he also was carrying a gun when he wasn't licensed to do so. So that's also a concern.
Yeah, and I think he'll change, you know, especially going to an organization like ours. And, you know, he's going to have to change. You know, when you get an opportunity to work not only for an NFL team, you just have to just get out of that mindset you're in and just know you got to do what you got to do, you know.
Right.
So I'll give it a B+.
Yeah. All right. And our last pick of the draft at 226, Ty Summers, linebacker, TCU, 6'1", 241 pounds, 4.5 140 yard dash. To me, this guy is athletic as can be. Really solid combine, really solid pro day. My questions are his abilities in coverage, though.
You said what? His what in coverage?
His abilities in coverage are a concern to me.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you broke
up. Oh, my bad. So what are your thoughts on Ty?
I hate this first name because it reminds me of Ty Montgomery. Right? But, this is another guy I never really heard of. Didn't see his highlights, didn't do any research on him. So I don't really have too much to say about him. However, you know, like we said on our mock draft, round 7 is pretty much just an effort pick. So this is what I'm looking at it.
I watched some of Ty Summers and I liked him from what I saw. He fills a position of need. We need an inside linebacker to pair next to Blake. I like Oren Burks. However, I feel like he's best in nickel package situations.
Yeah.
Ty Summers is your classic linebacker, albeit even more athletic than your classic linebacker. But still, my question with him is he going to be able to cover tight ends? I definitely think he's going to make an impact on special teams, though.
Do you think so? You don't think he'll be a starter right away? Or he'll just be like a guy
for depth? Well, as a 7th-round pick, you're not necessarily looking for starters. Like, if they become starters, that's awesome. But you're just looking for people that, you know, you're taking flyers on them. You're wondering, like, well, we'll start you out on special teams and we'll see how you progress from there. And special teams is important. That's what screwed us over so many times last season.
Yeah.
So if we improve our special teams, and that's a good pick in itself. So I'm going to give this one an A based on his athletic ability. I thought that this guy could have been picked in the 5th round, and we got him in the 7th. So value is there. His athleticism leads me to give him an A.
Okay. I can't really give him a grade because I didn't do any research on him. So I'll just leave it
back. I for incomplete. All right. We're going to take a short break here and have a word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back. And we are back. So right now we're going to talk about the picks from our draft that we really enjoy. Like, which is our favorite pick? Brian, we're going to start with you. Who's your favorite pick from this draft?
Can I have more than one?
Yeah. I gotta make you make a tough decision here.
All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I like Darnell Savage.
Okay. What about him?
I think Darnell Savage is a guy that's really gonna just help this team better itself, especially in the secondary. Pairing him up to Adrian Amos, and I like his energy. I think he reminds me a little bit of Jaire Alexander, the way he presents himself. He also likes to compare himself to guys like Eddie Jackson, I believe it was, from the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Just his energy all around. He's going to be a guy that pretty much just whatever Adrian Amos can't do, he'll do. He'll pretty much just nail you to the ground. He's not going to stop until you're on the ground. So I really like him, especially at, where do you pick him, 21? So
yeah,
I like that pick.
I'm going to go Savage as well. I think, I think he's the perfect safety to pair with Adrian Amos. Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers, y'all should listen to that, by the way. He said that, like, even before we drafted him, he was saying that the perfect safety in this class to pair with Amos is Savage. So, I don't know. Maybe he can predict the future or something, but... I was all for it as soon as I heard him say that and I looked him up. I was all for it. Darnell Savage became one of my guys, you know?
Yeah, and I'll motion that for you because I know some of your mock drafts you made for us, you would always have him at 30.
Yeah.
So
the fact that we traded up to get him, I get that might have taken away some of our draft picks, but whatever it takes to get him, you know?
A Savage.
Yeah, whatever it takes to grab a Savage.
You know, I was making the joke that we should give him 21.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got picked at 21, and his name is Savage. That's the funniest part.
I like Savage. You know, I really like Savage.
Me too. I like him a lot. What is your least favorite pick from this class?
To be honest, I'm going to have to go with round 7, number 226, Ty Summers. Simply because, like, I don't really know too much about him, you know? And it's like, will he be the guy that eventually has a starting job? Don't really care for it, especially. And I've never really heard of TCU, to be honest, either. I don't know. I really don't have too much to say because...
What, you never heard of the Horned Frogs of Texas Christian University?
No, sir. I have not. Unfortunately, and I apologize to any TCU fans, but I've never heard of that school ever. And
Andy Dalton went.
Who?
Andy Dalton from the Bengals.
Who's Andy Dalton? No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to say.
I'm just kidding. No, but I think that's my least favorite simply because I'm not too familiar with Ty Summers himself nor the school, and I don't really think it's going to work out, to be honest, with Ty Summers. I think he might just end up on the practice squad.
In terms of value, there's no picks that I hate in this draft. No picks that I hate. However,
I don't hate him either.
I have a least favorite, and that's honestly Rashawn Gary. I think that was a reach at 12. I think we could have gotten him at 30 even if we wanted to, but then we wouldn't have gotten Savage. But I think we could have traded down and got Gary.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. At least I can, at least number 9 or 10, at least, because that's where he was projected to go, to be honest with you. I've seen mock drafts that have him going at 8 to the Detroit Lions. I believe that's what they had, right? Number 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, some people had Rashawn Gary going to them at 8. Some were even having them go at 10 to the Broncos, which I don't really think they need a defensive lineman, to be honest with you. But I think at 8 would have been a great place to grab him.
I think that we could have traded down and still gotten him. Like, we could have gotten him at like 15. And Washington could have traded up and got Dwayne Haskins, and then we could have gotten Gary, and I would have been okay with that.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I think if we traded down, got more picks and Gary, I would have liked it more.
Right.
I just feel like 12 for Gary is a reach. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. Maybe he'll turn out to be like the next Julius Peppers or something like that. I don't know.
Some people were even sharing a story about Clowney, who shared the same story as Gary. Like, he had an injury and stuff, so. And he ended up turning out to be one of the best freaking pass rushers out there.
Yeah, the thing with Gary is, though, like, he's just a bull rusher. He doesn't have a plan when pass rushing. He doesn't have a lot of moves when it comes to pass rushing. He doesn't have a spin move. He doesn't have a swim move. So that's something he's going to have to learn from Za'Darius and Preston, potentially. They're coming in quiet.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because some people were saying that he might be wearing 52, and like you said, if that's the case, he has a freaking big, huge, you know, to fit.
You know that old story of the old woman that lived in a shoe? That's the size of shoe that Gary needs to fill right now.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I agree.
Oh, man. If he wears 52, I swear. Like, there have been really good players to wear 52 for the Packers.
Oh, yeah. It hurts me now knowing that freaking Clay's gone.
Yeah, but the thing is, with Clay, it had to happen. We were paying him way too much money.
Yeah, especially for the production he was giving us now.
Yeah. Like, I'll always remember him. He was one of my favorites of all time. He's the all-time sack leader in franchise history.
Yep, that's one of the things I always remember him for.
Oh yeah, him putting Jay Cutler to the ground.
Didn't he break a quarterback's arm?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I know it was one of the Bears' quarterback. Was it? What was his name? He went to the 49ers like 2 weeks later.
Caleb Haney?
No.
I don't even know.
I'll try to remember later.
Next episode. Okay, so now we've come to the point where we have to talk about whose job is at stake because of this draft.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
I'm going to give my pick here.
Okay.
I think Lane Taylor has to watch his back.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Right there and then, that's where.
Yeah, because we have Billy Turner. He can play on the right side at right guard. And then we can put Elgton Jenkins at left guard, potentially. And that's where Lane Taylor's been playing for the past few years. But the thing is, with Taylor, he struggled a lot last year.
He did.
Like, it was a bad year for Lane Taylor, for sure.
Real quick, I want to note this. Me nor you addressed this. He only had one penalty. Elgton Jenkins only gave one penalty.
I did not know that.
One penalty.
Oh, man.
All season long last year.
That is fantastic.
Compared to most of our Packer guys who love freaking offsides and doing all this extra, you know, BS. So I'm glad. All right. I like it.
Me too. I don't think Corey Linsley has to worry, even though Elgton Jenkins was primarily a center at Mississippi State, because Corey Linsley is still a damn good center, in my opinion.
He is. I agree with you 100%. I just think Elgton Jenkins has that body mold of a guard.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Heck, he could even play tackle, but I don't think he's primarily a tackle. I think he just plays tackle in a pinch.
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't be surprised if eventually, you know, he goes and plays right tackle and replaces Bulaga.
I think we draft
Bulaga. That's a reach. That's a reach.
Yeah. How about Jimmy Graham? Does he have to watch his back for Jace?
In a way, I would say Jimmy's safe somehow, some way. However, guys like Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis, yes.
Yeah.
Simply because he has more production value than Lewis and Tonyan. I do like Tonyan and Lewis. I think Lewis is more of a guy that we use for blocking rather than receiving. Tonyan, he still has to prove himself in a way because we only seen him in that one game against Seattle. But Jay Sternberger, dude, he's going to be a guy that immediately begins and pairs up next to Jimmy Graham. That's going to be a tight end duo that we have.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there for sure. And between Tonyan and Lewis, I think the person that makes the most sense to keep is Lewis. No disrespect to Tonyan at all, but neither Graham nor Sternberger are stellar at blocking. But Mercedes Lewis, he's for the longest time been known as one of the best, if not the best, blocking tight end in the NFL. And he's still very good at it at his age. So I think that out of them all, out of all the veterans that we have, I think that Tonyan is the one who needs to watch his back the most at the tight end position. You're quiet again.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, you're good.
Okay. I don't know why he's doing that. I agree with you.
We don't have our headphones. It's weird, okay.
Yeah, I took them off because they were giving us issues. But I 100% agree with you. I think Jimmy Graham's safe. However, wouldn't I be surprised if Jay Sternberger, you know, if he does get time on the field, wouldn't be surprised if he became our number one tight end.
And the thing is, we have to make sure that he can get Aaron's trust early and often.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Big time. I agree.
That's the biggest part of it. But the thing is, I think that he's going to succeed in this offense compared to last season's offense because Matt LaFleur actually likes using his tight ends.
Yeah, I told you, man, you see, there you go. I totally forgot about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, his offense is heavily predicated on using the tight end.
And running backs.
And running backs, too. Yeah, we're actually going to have a run game, people.
You see? So, woo, man, this team is going to be looking good.
Yeah. I'm excited for training camp. I'm excited to see what undrafted free agents we get because there's still some names out there that we could get at wide receiver. They're like David Sills. I don't think he was selected. So
I don't think so either.
I know there's
a list of guys that we already grabbed. I'm not sure if that's the end of it, but there's two quarterbacks we got. I don't know if you've seen the list yet.
Oh, those replace Rodgers fanboys are just having a good time with that.
I don't understand why people
want the Bills got him.
Who?
The Buffalo Bills got Bills.
Oh God.
Yep. So they're getting weapons for Josh Allen, which is honestly needed for him to succeed.
Oh yeah. Oh, so here's a list of guys that we got as undrafted free agents or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a guy named Kabion Ento, wide receiver out of Colorado.
Okay.
We have Manny Wilkins, quarterback out of Arizona State.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's I think there's another quarterback. Hold up. Josh Nijman, offensive tackle at Virginia Tech.
Josh what?
Nijman, N-I-J-M-A-N.
Oh, Nijman.
Yeah. Randy Ramsey, defensive lineman out of Arkansas.
Oh, I already like him because of that name.
Ramsey?
No, just Randy Ramsey or whatever.
Oh, like Randy Orton or something?
I don't know. It's an RKO out of nowhere.
Right, then we got Nate Brooks out of cornerback out of North Texas. Then we got Greg Roberts, defensive end out of Baylor.
Texas?
Nate Brooks, cornerback.
Never mind.
Then we have Greg Roberts, defensive end out of Baylor. Javion Hamilton, out of defensive back out of Mississippi.
Interesting.
And that's about it.
And that list will grow. It always does.
Oh yeah, I read another article. I'm not sure where it's at, but it was saying that we got another quarterback. Could be wrong.
I think this is more giving Kaiser competition for that backup spot.
Okay, here we go. So it says rookie mini camp invites. Quarterback CJ Collins out of Southwestern Assemblies of God University.
Okay.
And a defensive back Devontae Williams out of Texas A&I Kingsville.
Man, they have A&M, A&I, A&T. Like, what does the A stand for?
I don't know.
No.
I don't even know what the hell the I stands for.
I don't know what the M or the T stands for.
But yeah, that's the list so far. I mean, like you said, it's going to grow eventually. And some of these guys are going to get cut. So.
Right. All right. So I think that brings an end to this episode. It was a great draft for us. Overall, what would you give our draft overall?
Overall, I'm going to give it a solid B+. Believe it or not, Packer fans, we actually did a pretty good job at addressing what we needed. Best available players in every round, believe it or not. I think Gutekunst really nailed it. I know we all wanted, you know, the big names and stuff, but I think Gutekunst really addressed what we needed in order for this team to become what it once was, get our names back in the playoff mentions, win the division, get wins on the road, you know, defend the Tundra. So I like it. I'm giving it a B+.
I'm giving it a B+ as well. I know we're not really differing in opinions here, but Bryant was speaking the truth there. We didn't get the sexy names. We didn't. However, well, some people might consider Rashawn Gary's name sexy, but the thing is, we filled our needs with players that have a good track record during their time in college. Well, mostly. Rashawn Gary is still out in the open. However, the other players, they've done a great job at their positions. They did a good job at proving that they can play in the NFL, and they're getting their chance. Quiet again.
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was saying, and they have a great opportunity for a great team.
I agree. All right, guys. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this, but I'm going to try to bring a special guest onto the show.
I know who this is.
I know. We'll see how it goes. Hope for the best. Prepare to be.
I'm hoping that we do. I'm hoping we do.
Yeah, I know. That'd be great. Anyways, we're gonna get out of here for this week. We had a great draft in my opinion, and I'm excited for this training camp to start and keeping track of everything that's going on in terms of how the roster is looking, the different types of formations that we're seeing. I can't wait to see this offense in action. I can't wait to see Mike Pettine's defense in action with better players.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a good season, in my opinion.
I agree with you, brother. I agree.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go it is.